Please, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 17, rise up and we'll read God's Word together. Amen. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. And He said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Say nothing.
Nothing.
What do you suppose that means? No thing. No thing. No thing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah! Woo! Man, we ought to be able to rejoice about that. Rejoice in the fact that your name is written in heaven, verse 21. And in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Father, I pray, God, tonight you'd give me the anointing. God, that you would forgive me, that you would wash away anything that would hinder, Lord, the moving of your Holy Spirit in my life and the anointing on my life to preach and teach and declare the truth of your word tonight. God, let your anointing be upon your people tonight, that they'd be able to receive from you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Man, I just saw something just here tonight, the very first time. Easy. That chair just about bucked you off right there. I saw that. Good thing you know how to ride. Hallelujah. I taught her how to ride horses. Amen. I just saw something. I've read this passage of Scripture. I can't even tell you how many times I've read this. And I just now saw something. The Lord just showed this to me. And maybe it's just for me, but I'm going to share it anyway. Verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Now, the Lord reminded me right there when I was reading that, the Lord reminded me, what does the literal definition of rejoice mean? It means to spin violently. To spin violently. And the implication is that if you're bound up, if you're tied up to a bunch of mess in your life, you can't spin. And when I just read that, I got this picture of Jesus in my mind just spinning around. I mean, free as a bird. Amen. I saw him and I saw this big smile on his face while he's doing it. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, Father, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babies, just like us, little kids, unlearned in a matter of speaking, but yet willing to come before God and say, listen, James chapter 1 and verse 5, I lack wisdom, but God, I know that if I come to you and ask, you'll fill me with wisdom. And so I just wanted to share that. I think that's awesome. Jesus praised God in this passage that spiritual truth was for everyone and not just for the elite. Man, am I grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that. Many of life's rewards seem to go to the intelligent, the rich, the good-looking, or the powerful, but the kingdom of God is equally available to all, regardless of position or ability. See, God loves you and I just the way we are. Isn't that amazing? He loves us just the way we are. But here's the good news, Dennis. He loves us too much to leave us there. Isn't that amazing? When I was a messed up heathen from hell, He loved me with the same love that He loves me today as a, you know, reverend. His love for me hasn't changed. Love is who He is. But I'll guarantee you one thing, I am not the same guy that I was the day that Jesus came into my heart. He loved me too much to leave me there. He has set me free from so many things in my life. I've got so many more things in my life that I'm praying God set me free from. He loves us too much to leave us there. He's got a place for us to go. We come to Jesus not through strength or brains, but we come to Him through childlike trust. We need to join Jesus in just thanking God that we all have equal access to Him. That's why I had Kathy to go back to that song that we have to make it on purpose. We've got to surrender some things to God. Lord, wash me. Flood me by Your Spirit, O God. Trust in the grace of God. Don't trust in your personal qualifications for your citizenship in the kingdom. When something spectacular happens in our life, church, we should be compelled to praise God for what He's done in and through my life through the Holy Ghost of God. That's why I ain't got no other story to tell you but my story. I've got no other story to tell you but my story. And how my story ties in with Jesus' story. And how God, Mike and I was talking today, and he was troubled. He wasn't troubled, but the Lord was questioning him. I'm going to steal your thunder, so if he's planning on using it. But the Bible says that, how many of you know that we're saved by the Word, we're saved by faith, by grace through faith? How many of you know that's true? How many of you also know that the Bible says that we are overcomers? We're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it's not just the blood of the Lamb that saves us, although that's what saves us. There's got to be a testimony off of your lips. The Bible says that we are to confess. When you get saved, when you come to this altar, you can testify to this because it's been very recent for you that you came to this altar and you confessed. You said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, come into my life. Lord, I confess to You that I need to be born again. I need to, the newness of life. That's the confession. The blood of Jesus, it paid the price. But to finish it all off, we've got to have that confession that what God did. I got to tell somebody. You're going to add to that confession on Sunday morning when you go in that water of baptism over there. You're going to stand and part of it is confessing that I was once a sinner, but man, a few weeks ago Jesus touched my heart and I surrendered my life to Him, and today I'm being obedient to Him and I'm following Him in the waters of baptism, and you're going to stand and signify your confession to God, and I'm going to put you underneath the water, and in doing so, it's going to be symbolic of you being buried with Christ, and you're going to come up out of that water, symbolic of the resurrection of Jesus, and you're going to be resurrected in newness of life. You're as saved right now as you're ever going to be, but there's something about that pool of water over there that is a testimony of what God has done to the whole world that says, hey, I've been born again, and I'm following the obediently what God would have me to do. There's something about our testimony As soon as you got saved, you went and found somebody and told them about what Jesus did, brought them to church. Because of his testimony, somebody else got saved. That just is amazing. Does this shock anybody? It shocks some of us because some of us are going, that's exactly what the whole church is supposed to be doing. And somebody that's soaking wet right out, if I can use this illustration, sorry if I offend anybody, but when I say this, soaking wet, fresh out of the spiritual womb, go and find somebody and tell them about Jesus. Maybe for some of us it's been so long we've dried out and forgot what it was all about. That's good preaching. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. When something spectacular happens in your life, you should be compelled to praise God for what He's done in your life. Don't, I may not get off page 9. Don't let the enemy convince you that what has happened in your life is not important. Listen, hear me, church. Don't let the devil tell you it's not important. Your testimony is important. Your testimony is what will set someone else free. I had a Baptist guy tell me one time we was fishing on the Deschutes River, and we was fishing, and he was telling me about his life and his family and his wife and his kids, and he goes, my daughter, he said, she hadn't even got a testimony. I was like, man, boy, I do. I got one as long as this, you know. He goes, yeah, she doesn't even have a testimony. He says, we raised her. She's the only child, and we raised her in the church. She's been in church her whole life. Been in Sunday school her whole life. In a good Baptist church. Getting good Baptist Bible teaching in the church. And she never drank. And she never smoked cigarettes. And she never chewed Copenhagen. And she never run with boys that did. And all that kind of stuff. She just been like a little perfect little angel her whole life. She doesn't even have a testimony. I looked at him and I said, you're nuts. I said, that girl's got the absolute best testimony that anybody in the world could ever have. I've walked with Jesus my whole life. There ain't no better testimony than that. There's no better testimony than that. I remember in Myrtle Creek when we was over at the Division Street Church over there at the Assembly, and the kids was putting on a Christmas program, and I was doing this puppet show on the stage, and my oldest boy Josh gets out on the platform, and he starts telling the congregation how his dad spanks his butt. Takes us out to the woodshed and spanks us. I'm back here in this puppet thing just crying like a bear. Yeah, he said that because of all that, I'm going to have a great testimony. Part of that testimony is that I ain't going to kill you. Amen. Don't let the enemy convince you that your testimony is not important. Our highest joy is not found in service or even really in our own salvation, but our highest joy comes from being submitted and committed to the sovereignty of our Heavenly Father, for it is the foundation for both our service and our salvation. Everything we do, church, ought to be to glorify God. It ought to be to bring glory and honor to Almighty God. Here we see the Son of God rejoicing through God's Holy Spirit because of the will of God the Father. I delight, he said, in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, oh my God. Let me ask you this question, church. Do we delight to do the will of God? Thank you for not answering that, because that was a loaded question and I was going to jump on somebody. Because this is going to be rough, and I understand it, but listen, a teaspoon of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's what Mama used to say. And so we've laughed a little bit, but let me just say this to you right now. I delight to do thy will, O God. And I asked you how many of you do, and nobody really said anything. And maybe the reason why nobody said anything is because maybe some of us, maybe not all of us, are not doing the will of God. Are we being obedient to God's will? Are we being obedient when His Holy Spirit knocks on our door and says, hey, would you do this or that? Well, not right now. I'm a little busy. Watching my favorite TV program. In fact, I've been watching it for nigh on to 6 hours now. It's true. I want for all of our testimony to be Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Jesus rejoiced because the understanding of that truth did not depend on natural ability or on education. If that was the case, most people in the world would be shut out of the kingdom of God. Go back and study the chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Man, they had to be on point. They had to do everything right. They had to keep all these rituals. And Jesus said, I've come to establish a new and a better covenant. When the 12 and the 70 were preaching, they didn't see the wise and the learned humbling themselves to receive God's truth and God's grace. But what they saw were the common folk trusting the Word. Paul broadens the expectation from the Jewish people to all the nations to praise God in Romans chapter 15 and verse, starting in verse 8. He says, now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with His people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud Him, all you people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. What's the song say? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. The supreme example of ministry must always be Jesus Christ. Don't put me or any other person on some pedestal, because I promise you that God will knock them and me or them off of that pedestal. Don't elevate me. I'm just a man like anybody else. I put my shoes on 1 foot at a time. I put my pants on 1 leg at a time. I'm nothing but a servant of God. Don't try and make me anything more than that. Period. He came first to first of all, to minister to the Jews as the supreme example. According to Luke chapter 22 and verse 27, he said, but I am among you as he that serves. You want to know how to be like Jesus? Learn how to serve. Learn how to serve. Learn how to be a blessing to somebody. In ministering to the Jews, He came to minister to them that through Israel He might be able to minister to the Gentiles. To the Jew first is the principle that was followed in the earthly ministry of Christ and in the earthly ministry of the church, early ministry rather, of the church. In fact, John the Baptist came and to minister to the nation of Israel to prepare them for their Messiah. John the Baptist's mission was to prepare the house of Israel, the children of Israel, for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of their Messiah, their King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and they completely missed it. They blew it. Which makes me think of this. You can do everything that God calls you to do, and people still don't get it. Don't base what you do for Christ on the reaction and the response of other people. You be obedient to what God says for you to do and let the chips fall where they may. God will take care of that. You serve God with all of your heart, with all of your life, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. And if anybody follows you, thank God for every one of them. If nobody follows them, you thank God that you'll be standing before God one day and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You followed me, you did what I said to do, enter in." Another song. "Though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me and the cross before me, I will follow the Lord." When Jesus began His ministry, it was only to the people of Israel. And when He sent out the apostles on their very first evangelistic mission, He ordered them in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, "Go not unto the way," or "into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That was the commission that God Himself sent His disciples on. That was their very first mission. It doesn't mean, however, that He ignored individual Gentiles, because the truth of the matter is, He did minister to a few Gentiles, but His major emphasis was on the children of Israel. And after His resurrection, He commanded the apostles to remain in Jerusalem and begin the ministry there. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That was the commission. That's the mandate that, by the way, stands today, folks. It still stands today. The period that is covered by Acts chapter 1 and through chapter 7 is characterized by a ministry only to the Jews and the Jewish proselytes. It wasn't until Acts chapter 8 that the gospel begins to go to the Samaritans. And in Acts chapter 10, it goes on to the Gentiles. And then through the ministry of Paul, it goes through the entire Roman Empire. The question could be asked, and probably has been, was it selfish of God to emphasize the Jews? And the answer is a resounding no. Because it was through the Jews that He would send the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. The very first Christians were Jewish believers. John 4 and 22, salvation is of the Jews. In the Old Testament period, God chose Israel to be a minister to the Gentiles. But instead, Israel copied the idolatrous ways of the Gentiles and had to be chastened. And now, in the New Testament period, God has chosen again Jewish believers to carry the good news to the Gentiles and to obey Him. And He's called you and I to do everything we can to reach whoever we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our co-mission. We refer to it as the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Why is it called a commission? Because it's a co-mission. We take our life, link them to Christ, and go out and do what He's called us to do. I'm going to stop right there, because I don't want to get into those next four points. Bonus ground. I really do hope that you're getting something out of my rambling, my teaching, whatever you want to call it. I do pray that you're getting something out of it. I want this ministry to be encouraging to you. I want you to leave here going, man, I got one little nugget tonight out of whatever it was. I got a nugget. Amen. And if you'll take your nugget and begin to invest your nugget, God will bring the increase on your investment. That's a spiritual principle, church, and we cannot get away from it.
Sure. And we were talking just, and then I started sharing about Jesus and stuff, and there was something you had said, I don't remember exactly what, but I remember thinking that, it's like, oh, I'm doing my job.
Yeah.
It felt good because I remembered that specific thing from Bible study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels good to do something for God. Yes, it feels good to do something for God, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who don't want to feel good? Who don't want to feel good? The Bible says in Proverbs that it is the wise who win souls. How many of you know you don't have to have a degree or any kind of education to be wise? I already said in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And in Proverbs, it says unequivocally that it is the wise who win souls. Sir, you are wise. You won, you're winning souls. Don't quit. Don't quit. Tell somebody about Jesus. Bring somebody. Drag them. Kicking, screaming, squalling, bawling, I don't care. Drag them into church on Sunday. Bring them. Tell them, listen, you bring them in here, and I promise you this right here in front of God and everybody. You bring them in here, I promise you, number one, I will preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And number two, I will give them an opportunity to give their life to Jesus Christ at this old-fashioned altar. Two things I will promise you. My ministry, this ministry is based on those two facts. I don't care whatever else happens, but those two things are going to happen. Yeah. It's not scary when you're just telling your own story. No one knows your story like you do. And God will bring people across our path that we can just tell our story to. And there is nothing greater. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life to try and have fun. There ain't nothing as fulfilling as leading somebody to Jesus. Maybe you don't even get to lead them to Jesus, but if you get to tell them your story, if you get to tell them what Jesus has done in your life, there ain't nothing greater than that. It will jack you up like a pine squirrel on Mountain Dew, I guarantee it. Oh, and the church is saying amen to that. Some of you have been feeding pine squirrels, haven't you? Hey. Right. Right. Yeah, you need to be a first account. A first eyewitness account. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I can tell you what Jesus did for Mike because I've heard that story 100 times. I can tell you, but I can't tell it to you with the authenticity that I can tell you what happened to me. I can tell you what happened to me. I can tell you the way God has went above and beyond to rescue me. I can tell you that He's never given up on me. He's never said, you know what, I'm just tired of monkeying with you. He's always reached out a hand to pull me back up. He's never put a hand to shove me down. Bring somebody to church on Sunday. We're going to have a great time. I would encourage you to come early to get a seat. And if you do come early, and if you do get a seat, you might go stand somewhere and give somebody that ain't never been here before your seat. In fact, we might try and find alternative places to park, some of us. If we get in trouble for it, we'll beg for forgiveness later. Amen? Yes, sir.
I've never been asked give a word such as this. And I'm a bit beyond my comfort zone. But here it is. My children, I speak clearly to you that you would hear me and understand me. My children, you perish for lack of understanding. You ask me for many things that you have already been given, but you do not receive it because you do not know who you are. I have given you authority over all things through me. You come to me. You come to me and ask in timidity, asking if I will please do for you what I have already said is yours. With all the authority I have given you, there is nothing you cannot do in me. Did I ever pray that the Father might do for me anything? No. I spoke and it was done. So too, if you would believe my words, you too can command and it will be done. I tell you the truth. That whatsoever you ask, I will do. For it is my honor to do what you ask, that my Father would receive glory. I tell you, my children, it is time to arise. Do what I have told you to do. When you speak, I am speaking. Your words carry power, for as I speak through you, it is done, for I will do it. Let me speak through you and do what I command you to do. wake up those that are sleeping. For the world needs the light. And if you that are called by my name will not let the power be seen, then who will? Wake up and believe what I have said. Let it now be shown. Do not think that I am weak, but rather know who. Are you? Why do you therefore come to me saying, I am weak and powerless? I tell you, put aside your fear and step forth and declare that you are my children and are empowered by me, the King of Kings, the All-Powerful. And you are my children. Walk therefore in my power. I have given you. Hear me. I have declared that you will do greater things than I did. Oh. Then hear me. I have given unto you my power. I command you. Use it for the glory of my Father. Hear what I am saying to the church. Hearken to my words. And let the world see me through you. Be not afraid to proclaim my power. See me honor your words. Are my words unto you. Stand and be counted. As one of mine, saith the Lord God Almighty.
One way we can show God's power is if we stand in a line and lock arms together. When you were a kid, did you play Red Rover, Red Rover? And you stood locking arms so nobody could pass through. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to stand together, because we can't stand separately. We'll just get picked off. But if we stand together and lock arms, Red Rover, Red Rover, Satan, you can't come over. You're just going to hit a block wall here.
Amen. Amen. Help us to receive, Lord, and help us to be obedient to what we receive. God, help us as your people, as your children, to be obedient. To recognize, God, that that message was not just something that somebody dreamed up and trumped up, and you could hear the fear in his voice as he was declaring the word of God, the awesomeness in the word of God. And so, Lord, I pray, God, tonight that your people would receive the word of God, the word of the Lord. God, in Jesus' name right now, Lord, we surrender. God, we surrender all that I am. All that we ever hope to be, O God. Lord, that you would begin to flow through us, Lord God. God, that you'd give us Holy Ghost boldness, God, to be able to flow through, be a vessel that you can flow through. I want to be a vessel you flow through, God. God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just spend some time tonight praying and asking and seeking you, O God. Lord, have your way in our lives. Give us that Holy Ghost boldness, God, to be obedient to the Spirit of God, to proclaim the truth of what God has done. Lord, I want to be more like you. God, let me be more like you. God, give us, He is spot on. Lord, you have given us the power, God, to cast out devils in Jesus' name. You've given us the power and the authority, God, to lay hands on and to heal the sick. God, to bind up the brokenhearted, oh God. Lord, to anoint with oil and to cast devils out, God, in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, right now that your people would begin to rise up. God, that your people would begin to rise up in Jesus' name, Lord, and be who you have called us to be. Not intimidated by the things of this world. Not to be intimidated by what the naysayers would be. Oh, God's not going to do that. Oh, God won't do this. My God said, I shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God said, if you'll give unto me, I will give unto you pressed down, shaken together, and running over. My God said, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, I shall be saved. My God said that it is the wise that win souls. And God, pray, God, that we would line up with Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and following, where God said that this is your commission from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Take my word, take this gospel message, and make disciples of every nation and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that the house of the Lord would be full. God, that heaven would be populated, that hell would be plundered in Jesus' name. God, we declare tonight over this congregation, over every person watching by way of the internet tonight, God, that the delivering power of the Holy Ghost of God would be in every place, in every family, in every household, in every place that is being represented right now across that internet, over that video program. Lord, that you would set the captives free. God, that you would call your people out from their homes, God, and bring them to the house of the Lord, because we can no longer be a fractured, fragmented, isolated body. We are to come together and be the body of Christ in the house of the Lord. And I thank you for it, God. I look forward to, oh God, our Sunday morning service, Lord. And when we begin to tell the old story of a Savior came from glory, how He died on Calvary's hill, how He bore the stripes for the healing and the remission of the sins of the world, Lord God. Lord, that we would bring people into this place on Sunday, God, to hear the good old gospel story. Lord, that they would too have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, O God. That their lives would be changed forever. That their destination would be changed from the default mode of going to hell to our choice, our choosing to go to heaven to be with Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for it. Lord, this band of soldiers seated here tonight, those that are watching by way of the internet, God, I pray right now the anointing of God over every one of us, Lord, that we would go out from this place tonight, and God, that you would use us to compel. Your word says go in the highways and the byways and the hedges and compel them to come to the house of the Lord. Now, God, that is our mandate. That is our mission. God, fill this place on Sunday with people hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And all of God's people said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week. Ladies, tomorrow morning right here in the house for Bible study. Men, Friday night right over there. Men, for men only, Saturday, men's breakfast. Sunday, Easter Sunday. God bless you. God go with you. We will see you.